Atlantic. The Rusts had adapted well to Ankh-Morpork's post-monarchy centuries by buying and selling and renting and making contacts and doing what aristocrats have always done, which is trim sails and survive.
"Well, maybe," he conceded in the gentle tones of someone trying to talk someone else off a ledge. "But we must ask ourselves, does Ankh-Morpork, at this point in time, require a king?"
Edward looked at him as though he were mad.
Need? While our fair city languishes under the heel of the tyrant?
Oh, you mean Vetinavi?
Can't you see what he's done to this city?
He is a very unpleasant, jumped-up little man, said Lady Salachi, but I would not say he actually terrorizes much. Not as such.
You'll have to hand it to him, said Viscount Skater. The city operates, more or less. Fellows and whatnot do things.
The streets are safer than they used to be under Mad Lord Snapcase, said Lady Salachi.
Safer? Vetinari set up the Thieves' Guild, shouted Edward.
Yes, of course. Very reprehensible, certainly. On the other hand, a modest annual payment and one walks in safety.
He always says, said Lord Rust, that if you're going to have a crime, it might as well be organised crime.
Seems to me, said Viscount Skater, that all the guild chappies put up with him because anyone else would be worse, yes? We've certainly had some difficult ones. Anyone remember homicidal Lord Winder?
Deranged Lord Harmony, said Lord Monflathers.
Laughing Lord Scapula, said Lady Salachi, a man with a very pointed sense of humour.
Mind you, Vetinavi, there's something not entirely, Lord Rust began.
I know what you mean, said Viscount Skater. I don't like the way he always knows what you're thinking before you think it.
Everyone knows the assassins have set his fee at $1 million, said Lady Salachi. That's how much it would cost to have him killed.
One can't help feeling, said Lord Rust, that it would cost a lot more than that to make sure he stayed dead.
Ye gods, what happened to pride? What happened to honour?
They perceptibly jumped as the last Lord de Eth thrust himself out of his chair.
Will you listen to yourselves? Please, look at you. What man among you has not seen his family name degraded since the days of the kings? Can't you remember the men your forefathers were?
He strode rapidly around the table so that they had to turn to watch him. He pointed an angry finger.
You, Lord Rust, your ancestor was created a baron after single-handedly killing 37 Glatchians while armed with nothing more than a pin. Isn't that so?
Yes, but...
You, sir, Lord Monflathers, the first duke, led 600 men to a glorious and epic defeat at the Battle of Quirm. Does that mean nothing? And you, Lord Venturi, and you, Sir George, sitting in Ankh in your old houses with your old names and your old money, while guilds, ragtags of tradesmen and merchants, guilds, I say, have a voice in the running of the city.
He reached a bookshelf in two strides and threw a huge leather-bound book on the table where it upset Lord Rust's glass.
Twerps per peerage, he shouted. We all have pages in there. We own it. But this man has you mesmerized. I assure you he is flesh and blood, a mere mortal. No one dares remove him because they think it would make things a little bit worse for themselves. Ye gods!
His audience looked glum. It was all true, of course, if you put it that way. And it didn't sound any better coming from a wild-eyed, pompous young man.
Yes, the good old days. Tower in spires and pennants and chivalry and all that, said Viscount Skater. Ladies in pointy hats, chappies in armour, bashing one another and whatnot. But you know, we have to move with the times.
It was a golden age, said Edward.
My God, thought Lord Rust, he actually does believe it.
You see, dear boy, said Lady Salachi, a few chance likenesses and a piece of jewellery, that doesn't really add up to much, does it?
"My nurse told me," said Viscount Skater, "that a true king could..."